Of rain might not be a lot, but when you live in the Midwest and the mighty Mississippi is overflowing, it's pretty threatening. Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, Indiana, North Dakota, Mississippi, and Michigan. Hey, from all of us, America, tonight. If I could get out there and sandbag with every single one of you, I would. I've done it once, and it is hard work. And sandbags in some places won't do that much because it depends on how much water you're talking about. In North Dakota, worried about flooding there because the Red River can really throw it off, and that's toward Fargo that I'm talking about. So there's a big push to try to sandbag any low-lying area. It makes sense. Even I heard police cars were helping to get those semi-trailer trucks in and get them up to where they needed to be as fast as possible. And of course, you've got rain, you have melting snow, and that makes the river rise even faster than one could imagine. Six rivers in northern Illinois surged to levels that were unheard of, at least in modern times, after they were slammed with 5 inches of rain. So the governor declared 44 counties disaster areas, Governor Pat Quinn. In Peoria, they were talking about how they feel fortunate to have missed a serious crisis because the Illinois River, which was cresting Tuesday afternoon at 29.4 feet, that's a record high, 30 feet, the water would have topped a levee at a sewage treatment plant, and that sends raw sewage spilling into the river, and that's always a big concern when you're talking about something like that. Listen to Lance Lacombe on the situation of flooding in Missouri and the sewage there.
Keep in mind, 100 million gallons versus almost 400 billion gallons going down the Mississippi in the course of a day. It's really a thimbleful going into a swimming pool. We do have millions of gallons of sewage combined with rainwater discharging into the Mississippi River. Now, that's not to say that it's okay to be discharging wastewater. It's certainly a concern to us. We're working around the clock to address it.
Yeah, that's why the Missouri governor, Jay Nixon, declared a state of emergency, too. Many of the places in the state were smashed by flash flooding, too, because you have not just the Mississippi River, the swollen creeks and rainfall, and that's pushing the river even over their own flood levels. But the sewage thing, people forget about that. Sadly, and it was so bad in Illinois, and then this is headed into the second week, that a body was found floating in Salt Creek. And they're trying to identify who it is. There's a Missouri woman who drowned as well after her car washed off the road. And in Indiana, they had a couple of people who died trying to cross high water in a car. Because some of that happened at the tail end of last week, they're trying to warn people, this is what happens, this is why you can't do this, and you have to be very, very, very careful when you decide to go through some of the areas where the flooding is starting to spill over, because it's kind of a false sense of, well, this water looks okay, and then you get into the water and it's too late and you're absolutely stuck. This was a crazy story that ended the way it started. The whole ricin scare. First you have the Boston Marathon bombs that go off, and in the same day, one of the senators from Mississippi and the president would have received ricin-laced letters. The person who was picked up for that was Paul Kevin Curtis, who is a Elvis imitator. He was in jail for almost a week. Charges were dropped now all of a sudden. They said new information became available. That's what the U.S. Attorney's Office said anyway. They're trying to figure out whether someone might have tried to falsely implicate the man from Corinth, Mississippi, and he was arrested on April 17th. They charged him with sending a threat to the president after letters had the poison on it, triggered serious security scares, excuse me, around Washington. And he said his arrest was unbelievably surreal, that it was machine guns, guys coming to the door with hoods. And he kept saying, what is Rice and what is Rice and what did I do? I have no idea what I did, and they weren't believing him. And then once they turned over more and more evidence, it became clear that it wasn't him. At least they didn't believe so, and they didn't have the evidence. And it wasn't just Obama. It wasn't just the president that would have gotten the letter. Senator Roger Wicker was somebody else who was targeted. And Sadie Holland, who is a justice court judge in Lee County, Mississippi, they all had a Memphis, Tennessee postmark and no return address. So they believed that somebody might have tried to frame him. In fact, her attorney said that he was framed by someone who uses phrases that he likes to use on social media, and that's why he was singled out. He says it was such an eye-opener for him and rough on his family because he's got three kids, and his family was in shock. They had no idea why he was picked up and didn't believe that he had anything to do with sending the letters. And because the investigation didn't turn up enough hardcore evidence on anything like that, they were able to, he was able to finally get released. But boy, that had to be really scary for him, as he described them coming to the door with guns and, of course, and targeting him, and he has no clue what they're talking about. And then he has to try to, through his attorney, try to figure out a way to say, listen, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, and they're not paying attention. Finally, it shakes loose that, it couldn't have been him. All right, finally, quickly, this poll. A new poll comes out that says that terrorism is now kind of a part of life. Wow, in America, to say that is interesting. There's been a spike in the percentage who say that the occasional acts will be just what we have to deal with. The Pew Research Center survey that came on the heels of last week's Boston Marathon bombings showed that 3/4 of Americans say that the occasional acts of terrorism are part of how we have to live now. That's up from 64% last April. Despite the jump, the poll shows no increase following the attacks in Boston, which killed 3 people and injured, more than 250 all in all. And 59% of people question in a November 2010 Pew Research poll, so they were very or somewhat concerned about another terrorist attack in the U.S. The number is now 58%. Republicans and Democrats are equally likely to say terrorism is part of life in the future. So how about that? And this took place, again, this survey, right after the Boston Marathon. Stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it, with what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts. If you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It really Earth Week, but certainly Earth Day comes and goes, and one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is green energy and some of the crazy breaks on green energy and things that you don't know as far some of the hypocrisies out there. So Justin Danhof, who we've had on the show many times, who actually told us that this was in the wings for him, but he's the general counsel and director of the Free Enterprise Project, went and decided that he was going to confront Honeywell. And part of the reason for that is what was going on with stimulus money and how was it spent, because there was $25 million from your pocket and mine, so to speak, all of us, the pool of taxpayer money, to create how many jobs, Justin, how many jobs were created?
A whopping 10, which makes it a good round number to do the math, and that equates to $2.5 million out of your pocket and mine, or 10 for each job created. So here's another, the Obama administration math adding up to work over the taxpayer.
That's absolutely crazy. What was it specifically, what was it earmarked for? It was some kind of plant that was supposed to be built in Hawaii, is that right?
Yeah, so this money came from the president's stimulus plan, which, you know, was, of course, his first major legislative accomplishment, if you want to call it accomplishment, which I don't. And this money came from the same grant program that was run through the Department of Energy that brought us the likes of Solyndra, Fisker, A123 Systems. And while we were investigating this grant program, we were kind of curious and scratching our heads at why Honeywell, an established company, was on the list receiving a $25 million grant, when most of the companies that received these grants were more along the lines of startups or younger companies that were solely focused on some green energy endeavor. While Honeywell, certainly in the energy field, they're no spring chicken, and they do very, very well financially, and they have over the last few years. So this seemed to be an unnecessary taxpayer gift to a financially stable company. which makes it all the more interesting that in 2010 they get this grant. They promised it would create 85 construction jobs, and it would start at 40 permanent jobs a year and grow from there once the plant was totally finalized. And it was going to be a biofuels plant on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. Well, fast forward to 2012, a local paper, the Honolulu Civil Beat, does something that is, you know, a bygone era. They do actual investigative journalism. And they go to the site. They find a poultry shop and 10 total workers. And you have to laugh or you cry with this outcome. And so yesterday I traveled up to New Jersey where the annual, Honeywell shareholders meeting was being held. And I confronted David Cody with this and I said, is there anything in this Honolulu Civil Beat report you would like to, correct? Is there any misinformation in here or is it entirely accurate? And since the report was issued in 2012, have you, it's April, have you created any new jobs yet this year? And he said he refused to update any numbers, said he had no new numbers, and that he was totally comfortable with the work Honeywell was doing in Hawaii. So just digest that for a minute. We have a CEO of a major international corporation that is comfortable stealing, and I don't use that word lightly, stealing $25 million from the taxpayers on a promise of, you know, hundreds of total jobs being created and only creating 10. He is sorely out of touch with the American people, and he might be out of touch with reality if he thinks that that's an okay thing to do.
Boy, no kidding. And was there any reaction? Because, of course, there's other people that are obviously there. Did anyone react to your questions? I know I certainly would have looked up.
Yeah, afterwards, many shareholders came up and said, you know, thank you. And the reason they said thank you is very simple. Somebody has to hold these corporations accountable, right? So the Obama administration takes your money and my money, and they play with it like it's monopoly money. They act like an investment banker when they have no expertise in it. They pick winners and losers, but no matter who they pick, the taxpayer always loses. So they spend our money willy-nilly, and they won't hold the companies accountable because they don't want to admit that their green energy ventures are failing. So they cover it up, they deflect, they say that, you know, not all these companies are doing badly. And the companies, of course, aren't going to self-account for their own failures, so they're not going to be held accountable by themselves or by the administration that gives them the money. So it truly is left up to shareholders, citizens, and the media. These are the last bastions to hold these companies accountable when they seek taxpayer funds and don't deliver on promises. And do I think that, you know, Honeywell is going to come out tomorrow and give a full accounting of where every one of those dollars of those $25 million went? Absolutely, I don't. But you know what? I'm on here talking about it with you tonight. The Dow Jones Newswire wrote something this morning saying, hey, you didn't answer Justin's question, Mr. Cody, CEO of Honeywell. We'd like an answer, too. So did the Washington Examiner. So if we get a little bit of a groundswell going in here, maybe we can start holding, you know, more than just myself. We can hold these CEOs, their feet to the fire a little bit. And maybe they won't give the full accounting, but maybe next time the Obama administration is just throwing our money around without care, Honeywell will think twice. And they'll think, huh, this was kind of a public relations nightmare last time we did it. We have the money ourselves. Let's make our own investment. We don't need the taxpayer money.
Yeah, and I'm going to challenge everybody listening to America tonight to write a letter to the CEO of Honeywell, and I'm going to put the address on our website, americatonight.net. Let's hold their feet to the fire. I mean, this is ridiculous. We're drowning in debt, and we're giving a company that has plenty of do-re-mi, we're giving them a $25 million grant. How does the U.S. Department of Energy screen who they're giving the money to? I guess you sort of answered that. You did answer that by saying they don't hold them accountable, and then if they just approve whatever it is that you say you're going to do as far as the green standards are concerned, then if you get the grant, you get the grant, and that's the end of it. Is that pretty much what you've seen?
But I mean, that's precisely it. And you know, you ask, you know, who gets these grants? Well, It's no coincidence that David Cote, CEO of Honeywell, was a member of the Simpson Bowles Debt Commission, which, of course, in reality, came up with a few decent ideas on reducing the debt. But, of course, since they were decent ideas, they were rejected by this current administration. But what that did was gave him a good seat at the table, and, you know, he could have a nice lunch every once in a while with the president. And lo and behold, he gets $25 million. This morning, we had another representative of the National Center at Exelon shareholder meeting in Baltimore, and we had her confront the CEO of Exelon because they got $200 million in pure stimulus grant money for a project that they were already doing and already budgeted. So this just goes on and on because a board member of Exelon happens to be President Obama's basketball buddy. His name's John Rogers. So, you sit back and you think, you know, Justin, what's the deal with $25 million? Well, add that $25 million from Honeywell to $200 million from Exelon to $528 million from Solyndra to hundreds of millions to A123 Systems, and the hits just keep on coming for us taxpayers.
Yeah. So I guess the moral of the story is if you know somebody in the White House and you come up with something, even if it's cockamamie as far as green is concerned, you may have a good chance to get a grant. I mean, this isn't even picking. This is right there. This is low-hanging fruit. It's easy to pick this off of the branch, isn't it?
It's so easy for these companies, and especially, you know, these larger companies. They have learned well how to game the system. The system is set up with this dual power at the top of, you know, crony capitalism involved in politics and politics, you know, returning the favor. And we see it time and time again. And the taxpayer always ends up on the short end of the stick. And it's really up to us. It has to be a groundswell movement to stop it, because when you've got the top corporate leaders and you've got the top politicians, you know, kind of colluding together in this sense to rob us all blind, it's up to us to stop it, because they're you know, the most powerful government in the free world and some of the most powerful corporations in the free world doing this together. So it's really up to the folks to have a groundswell movement to get it to end. And like I said, I think the best way to do it is through making it a public relations nightmare for these companies to act in this way.
Yeah, because they don't want that. They don't want anyone to peek behind the curtain. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. Justin Danhof, thanks as always. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, Kate. Have a great night. Thank you.
You too.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, phone toll-free 1-800-977-6119. InventHelp, America's leading invention company, has inventors information you can have free. Get an informative brochure and other material of interest to new inventors from the company whose patent referrals have helped secure more than 7,000 patents. Learn how to get your free information by dialing 1-800-977-6119. That's 1-800-977-6119. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call. That's 1-800-977-6119. 1-800-977-6119.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your text, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday
enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BLOCKITPOCKET.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie Guy, and I'm giving you a personal invitation to join me Tuesday, April 30th. This is 7 p.m. It's a free lecture at the Holiday Inn, Hurstbourne Parkway, Louisville, Kentucky. Now, this lecture is going to cover the top 8 diseases that afflict Americans. I'm going to show you how Alzheimer's disease is preventable by 80%. I'm going to show you how Alzheimer's disease is a physician-caused disease and how you can prevent it and how to reverse dementias. Let me tell you, this is going to be great. I'm going to show you how to reverse arthritis, how to reverse heart disease. I'm going to show you how to reverse high blood pressure. I'm going to show you how to support and promote maintenance repair of cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, disc between your vertebrae. You don't need doctors for the most part except for emergency. Emergency, you got to go to the doctor. Otherwise, come see me. Free. This is Tuesday night, April 30th, 7 p.m., Holiday Inn, Hurstbourne Parkway, Louisville, Kentucky. Tell them Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, sent you.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You can do that, americatonight.net. So without further ado, let's not stand on ceremony. Let's run to the mailroom and check the email.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Taking a Marco Rubio water break. All right, so our first email comes from Jake in Austin, who says, "Hello, Kate, did you miss me? I forgot to email you. Last week, I think one of the days." See, he emails every single day, so he can't even remember what day he didn't email. And actually, frankly, neither can I. So he says, "You know, one thing that really gets me and chaps me about the bombing suspect is they really don't show any remorse, do they? Including the younger one. Hey, I know he's in the hospital and can't talk and all that stuff, but he certainly didn't look like he had any remorse to me. And it didn't appear to be that way, the way it was reported, as far as the investigators are saying. So no indication of remorse. I heard Senator Saxby Chambliss of Georgia mention that, and I thought, you know, he's right. And that ticks me off. What can we do to make people feel more humanity? Well, more humanity. obviously he's a cold-hearted killer because he killed a little boy. He killed innocent people. They have nothing to do with whatever their beef was, religious or otherwise, or stirred up by something else. I mean, period. You go and you drop bombs, you cavalierly leave bombs, then watch them go off and walk away with ice in your veins. I mean, are you kidding me? Of course he had no remorse. That's why I have no trouble saying, fry him. If they can do the death penalty, if that happens, if the feds can get the death penalty, meaning, by the way, in checking that, they can, but will they? If they've got all their ducks in a row, I say go for it. Talk to the victims and see how they feel about it. After doing what they did and then wreaking more havoc on Thursday night into Friday, for all that time, Tamerlan killed in the shootout with police. And, hey, who knows if he would have died if he wasn't run over by his brother. He was shot, but they were cuffing him. And so maybe he would have survived that, too. But the 19-year-old Zokar, I don't care if everybody comes on the evening news and says, he's a great guy, he's a lifeguard, oh, I had a crush on him, oh, this or that. It doesn't matter. Whatever he was in the past, and yes, it's shocking because nobody saw it, there wasn't these red flags or whatever. He certainly had no compassion or care for humanity when he did what he did. I mean, he was shot in the neck and the leg, and then it looked like he was trying to kill himself because of what happened to his larynx. But we got him. He's in custody. And I think they need to do everything they can to make this a death penalty case. I know there's tons of people that disagree, including in Massachusetts, because could there be a place where they wouldn't want the death penalty less than Massachusetts? I mean, this is federal now, but it would probably be there. Same thing with, you know, New Jersey. I could name off probably 25 states where they want nothing to do with it. And actually, more and more people are anti-death penalty. But I think here, for what he did, it's exactly what he deserves. I go Old Testament, eye for an eye, baby. I mean, this is, you think of that father, and I just can't help thinking of him. You think of that father, he's got his two kids and his wife who are so excited for him. They're waiting at the finish line, and he loses his son. His wife is in bad shape. His daughter is in bad shape and lost a leg. You know, how do you pick up the pieces from that? He'll have to be there for them, but you're burying your kid, and then you've got one child in bad shape and a wife in bad shape because these clowns did what they did. So, yeah, there's no humanity. You have to get a shovel and dig pretty deep for that. And I don't care what Mama says when she jumps on the news. My boys wouldn't do it. They're framed. Yeah, right. There's no frame job going on here. All right, let's move on to another one. This one comes to us from Paul, listening in Illinois. Kate, halfway underwater here, but a dedicated listener. I have been listening to the show. I noticed that you've mentioned Texas a few times and what happened in West. I'm glad that you're doing that, because really there has been coverage of what happened at the fertilizer plant, but people are still fixated on Boston. I mean, I understand the terrorist activity and all of that, but I really, really feel for those folks in that town, especially after seeing some of the video. It was horrific. And I'm surprised, frankly, more people weren't killed. Well, they don't have a complete account. The number they're saying now is 35. But here's the newest slice of info. The guy who owns the plant that exploded last week, he is being sued, of course. There's two lawsuits that have been filed, and they're accusing, it's a Dare Grain was the name of the company, and that's the parent company of West Fertilizer. They're saying that they were negligent in the operation of the facility, creating an unreasonably dangerous condition, which led to the fire and the explosion, and the lawsuit was filed by insurance companies on behalf of people, two churches, businesses, including a Chevy car dealer and a bakery. They're still trying to figure out what caused the fire and that explosion. And, no, you know, they're not commenting on the lawsuits. But if they go back, that plant hadn't been, they hadn't even gone in and looked at that plant since like the late 80s. That was the last time they were there. OSHA was there anyway. And I think a lot of people say that's a huge problem. But the fact that you have, think of the apartment building, think of what everybody lost. Think of the injuries, the physical injuries. Because, you know, there's tons of injuries here, too, 170-some injuries. And, man, I mean, that's the physical, the emotional, and then the property side of this. But the question becomes, too, is how much money are they going to have to pony up for this? And that's why they filed these suits, I'm sure, as fast as they could. But you think of the property and all the people and the devastation, that's going to be a tough one. All right, here's another one. This is from Howard. Howard says, America Tonight, I've been hearing that you've been talking a lot about what's happening in Boston. It is just gut-wrenching to see the faces and now, of course, hear more of the stories, personal stories of what happened to people. I agree with you. I've heard you say a few times they should nail this guy to the wall, and I agree. I hope that there's no slippage in anything so they can prosecute him to the fullest extent. And I think they need to find out where the brother was radicalized and more specifics about what happened here. You know, it's what's interesting is finding out about the more specifics. I saw a Fox poll. Remember, I am the poll princess. And they showed that the majority of voters approved of how the White House, the media, the cops, the SWAT teams, you know, name it, how they handled the bombings. And now we have this new attack, but most of the people polled gave high marks to the government for how they ultimately unraveled what was going on in Boston or how they handled it, really. 91% approved of it. 71% approved of the administration's performance. 55% approved the job the media did. Tell you who did the best job, the Twitter guys. The people who were under siege because they couldn't leave their place, and they were right there. They were shooting things, telling me, taking some videos, some of them, and they were telling you in real time what was going on. It showed the power. People always say, well, who cares about Twitter and what does Twitter do? There's the power of Twitter. That boom, 140 characters. Here's what happens. Shots fired here. My building is at so-and-so and whatever. That was amazing. It was like play-by-play of what was really happening to the people who were in these tight, had places with these tight little alleys and stuff who were probably scared to death that they might come into their, you know, might come into their home. That was where you got the best, I think, got the best stuff. And the media coverage, I would say, was okay. Certainly afterwards, with the stories, you know, it's always about the human face on what's happened, and that pulls at people's heartstrings, which is good because now the money that's raised, especially from that one fund, will be directly funneled to the people who need it. You got to think about therapy and all the amount of medical attention that so many people have to get in Boston who lost limbs, or even people who were there from other places who lost limbs, that kind of a recovery period and whatnot. So bravo to how generous people are sending whatever they can to these funds, especially the one fund, so that it gets to the right place. Stay with us coming up on America Tonight. It's about the numbers, so we can count round the bend.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help
us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Of We Can Count. As promised, you know, it is about the numbers, truly. You look around and people make a living on numbers, after all. So every day I comb through so many things that have numbers in it. I think it's fun to sometimes have these segments. So where we start, We Can Count. This story blew my mind. How's that for an intro? None of you are turning away from this radio show when I say something like this. You know, I can't imagine, first of all, being trapped in the wilderness for 8 days with nothing but the clothes on my back. That happened to a California guy. He survived 8 days in a wooded area near Lake County. So to give you an idea, think, you know, San Francisco and further north, Santa Rosa. How did he survive? He ate pine nuts. 25-year-old guy. Here's what happened. He crashed his rental car. And he tried to get to a main road on foot, but he got lost. See, that's what happens when you get discombobulated. Has that ever happened to you? Ooh, unfortunately, that's happened to me before, but not in a rental car and crashing. So he texted messages to a friend and said he was on the way, but he never showed up. And it was uncharacteristically, you know, for him to not do that. So he missed work, didn't warn. So they started to get worried. where he worked. Thank goodness people get worried. His roommate was worried. The place where he worked thought it was odd. There's no way he would do this. He rented one of those zip cars. That was gone. No cell phone trail. Friends were putting up flyers in Sacramento and in Davis and just freaked out of their minds. And that's what happened. He was in the woods. And finally he was spotted in Lake County. And all that time had gone by, he couldn't get through the woods. Isn't that crazy? I mean, that whole thing about breadcrumbs or whatever and trying to find your way back is so true. Sometimes you're right near an area and you have no idea. You're just doing circles. I think the nighttime would be the worst. So he was waiting and trying to figure out, you know, what to do. And he survived. I guess there's some lesson to this that I'm convinced of this anyway. Whether you're flying or driving, you got to have some kind of food with you. You know, on this show, you'll hear some of the spots where they talk about survival food and stuff. No joke. You got to bring some survivor food. Think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. For the people who were on lockdown in Watertown, what if they had been like I am and probably some of you are? We have nothing in your refrigerator, you know, because you've been gone. You have whatever, a little bit of milk, have wilted salad or something. You'd have nothing. You have nothing to eat. Maybe some cereal if you're lucky. So if there ever was a time to take emergency food, to throw some nuts, to throw some freeze-dried stuff in a backpack, think of that situation. He's in a rental car. Who knows? He goes off the road. He would have had some more stuff with him. But luckily, he at least thought about eating the pine nuts, and that helped him. He had to have been so discombobulated. I mean, he had to have been. Wow. All right, here's a big one. California has a big homeless problem in some areas. I think it's probably partially due to the weather. You know, with better weather, you can survive outside longer. And it's probably also due to the fact that it's so expensive to live there. You never know who you're going to meet. People, homeless people would be allowed to sit, sleep, and panhandle in public, they say, under this new bill that passed a legislative committee on Tuesday. You know, some people objected to legally saying, okay, we're giving the stamp of approval that if you're homeless, you can sit, you can sleep, you can panhandle, boom, that's it. We're not going to put you away. We're not going to worry about the police saying, get out of here, shoo, shoo, shoo. Because every person has a right to use public spaces. That's what one of the assembly people said, one of the assemblymen who represents from San Francisco. And the reason for this is because there have been all these ordinances that have been passed in a lot of cities about the number of people on the streets. So you got San Francisco, L.A., Santa Cruz, Palo Alto. They're banning people from sitting and lying on streets and sidewalks. This guy flips it around and says, homeless bill of rights. It doesn't allow the cops to enforce any of those ordinances on resting in the public places unless a county has provided support to homeless people, because you get citations, arrest, jail time, and all that stuff. But that doesn't involve homeless folks. It just, you just are rerouting them, pushing them away. So isn't that interesting? AB 5 would require state government to pay for creating local hygiene centers, too, with restrooms and showers open 24 hours a day. Here would be my one question about that. So you'd have homeless people who smelled nice and had a place to go and wash off. That bill passed 7-2. And they say the county spent about $300 million a year sometimes incarcerating homeless people, you know, this whole poverty thing and all that sort of stuff. It can make sense to me, but the problem is the paying for it. How are they going to pay for it with what they're dealing with in California? They've had to cut back on so many other city services in some places, and their base, they're talking about tax revenue and everything else, and people are being chased out of California. Even if they say, oh, no, it's getting better, don't believe it, because it still is at an all-time. People are having serious problems, and they're having trouble trying to figure out ways to meet the, you know, the budget. This is a big deal in Minnesota. Of course, that's where our mothership is. Bulletproof whiteboards have been installed in a Minnesota school district. I think it's kind of clever myself. Two students were killed in a shooting way back in 2003. So they've got this new device, and it's a last-ditch sort of layer for safety. And what it is 200 of the white boards were made for the Rocori School District, and it has this material that is stronger than police-issue bulletproof vests. It's 18-by-20-inch whiteboards, so teachers can use it as a shield in an emergency. They could use it as a shield, and they did demonstrations on it, and they it's amazing. It is. They smashed it with a baton, stabbed it with a knife, nothing. Shoot at it, all that kind of stuff. I mean, hopefully, I guess it doesn't come to that. But, hey, if something went down in a school and you could grab that and you could rush the guy or person, that would help if that was the case. There's a Maryland-based hardware, it's called Hardwire, rather, LLC, and they've been working on armor protection devices for personnel for years. And they came up with this one, especially the school security thing after the Newtown incident. I mean, there's one thing that you can do. Already North Dakota, Maryland, Pennsylvania, California, here now, and of course Minnesota, they're using them. It makes sense. It's not ridiculously expensive, and it's a shield. It's a shield. It could help somebody protect the students in it, you know. Even if some people were to be hit, it would certainly help some others when the unforeseen happens. I would grab it. If I was a teacher and they showed me, boom, how to use it, and we're trapped, and there's no guard, and there's nobody to aid us, but any quick things that I could use, I would try to lock that door. And there's ways you could lock the door. I would try to lock the door, I think, more than anything. But if it's the last line of defense, I would definitely be happy to have it. It's just another thing that you could use in an arsenal of protection, I guess, for anybody that might suddenly appear with a gun trying to do harm to your classroom if you were teaching. All right, remember, you can always shoot me an email. We do that mailbag segment each and every show. AmericaTonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you are in.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.